Senate Agriculture and Veterans Budget Division will come to order. First thing up today is PowerPoint overview of the budget, change items for Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Are we ready?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Quinn Cheney, and I'm the Policy Director at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. I put together this little PowerPoint presentation just to go through the budget a little bit, put it in a little bit different picture, and really connect it a little bit more with what our, with the way our programs are divided up at the department. The one thing I will say, and I apologize for this, is it doesn't flow exactly with your budget books. So you can follow along, but it may get a little confusing. As we were looking at the budget and developing the budget and trying to figure out what kind of reductions we need to make at the department, we tried to keep in mind the mission of the department, which is to enhance our quality of life by ensuring the integrity of our food supply, the health of our environment, and the strength of our agricultural economy. At the department, we divide up our divisions into a two-pronged role of regulation and promotion, and we are the primary agency in protecting the state's food supply and also a primary agency for nurturing the healthy agricultural economy. This chart, it shows the big picture of the budget. The total department budget is $169 million. This is about a 16.8% spending decrease from 08-09. And a 5% decrease from the current appropriation level. The reason that that looks so different, that it's only a 5% decrease from the forecast base, that is because of the several of the programs funded during the last budget cycle were one-time money. So that's one of the reasons that it shows up that way. At the department, as I said, we are divided up into regulatory responsibilities. One of the programs under our regulatory side is the Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division. They're responsible for regulating all the pesticides and fertilizers and other crop outputs. They license applicators and enforce the pesticide laws. The total budget for that division is about $36.5 million, and this is a 43% increase from 08-09. The first change item for that division is the governor is recommending to use the dedicated ACRA funds, this is the Ag Chemical Remediation and Response Account, to pay for salary and fringe for direct ACRA-related MDA response activities. The governor also recommends requiring licensing for people distributing pesticides in Minnesota and into Minnesota. If a person is already licensed in Minnesota as a pesticide dealer, no additional licensing would be required. This really is just aimed at getting a more fair and level marketplace for those already in compliance and making sure that those bringing pesticides into the state are also paying the fees. The governor also recommends increasing the pesticide program funding. This would include increasing the base pesticide registration fee from 0.4% to 0.6%, and also increasing the minimum product registration fee for non-agricultural pesticides. The fees in this division have not been increased since 1991, and as you well know, the demand for services in this area has really increased, both through legislative directive and public demand. We also had a legislative auditor report that made some recommendations that we've been working to implement. This new funding would help us to maintain the current level of program activity in some areas and also to increase in other areas, including registration, our investigation and incident response, water monitoring, lab capacity, and waste pesticide collection. The governor also is recommending to create a dedicated non-agricultural waste pesticide account and to collect a surcharge on product registration for non-ag pesticides to fund this account. As you may recall, in 2008, we passed legislation requiring annual waste pesticide collection activities to take place in every county. That legislation also provided for reimbursement of costs for the collection of these waste pesticides. And so this proposal would create a dedicated surcharge account to help fund those ongoing activities. We have several clean water programs, which is funded from the Clean Water Fund. One of those is drinking water protection, and we recommend providing funding to the Department of Agriculture to increase efforts to protect drinking water from agricultural chemicals. Nitrates in particular are present in vulnerable aquifers throughout Minnesota, and this proposal would allow us to increase our efforts in areas where groundwater is or could be used for drinking water. Out of order. Another recommendation for the Clean Water Fund is also to provide funding for increased pesticide and assessment and monitoring. This will allow us to evaluate the actual practices and best management practices that we have been using for example, for recent listing of the water bodies impaired with acetichlor, also to monitor for acetichlor and other pesticides in other additional surface areas, and as well as to improve and increase our lab capacity and flexibility for responding to emergency pesticide issues.
Senator Ingebretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is that a typo there, the cost of 300,000 to 350
million? 350,000
million?
Yes.
Okay.
I had a few technical glitches with my program today, and I had to rewrite it this afternoon, so I apologize for that.
It's also a large increase.
It also should be Clean Water Legacy Fund, not Clean Water Legacy. Or Clean Water Fund, not Clean Water Legacy. Also, another recommendation is in the area of research projects and assistance. The governor recommended providing funding for future for projects, pilots, and demonstration projects. And these are efforts that might be focused on, again, best management practices, implementation and effectiveness, targeting practices to critical landscapes, and more precisely on non-point source contributions to impaired water and other priority research, working with farm and pilot projects on farm and other private sector environmental assessments. Another area of the agency is plant protection, again, another regulatory responsibility. The Plant Protection Division is responsible for invasive species control and prevention activities and crop pest monitoring. The budget for that division is about $13 million, and this is about a little over a 2% increase from the 08-09 budget. The first change item for that division is the Wolf and Elk Compensation Program. This program was established to reimburse farmers for livestock lost to wolves in the northern part of the state and crop damage due to elk in the northwestern part of the state. The base funding for the program is $100,000 per year, and we're proposing to increase it by $50,000 per year. The program has experienced financial shortfalls due to increasing populations of wolf and elk, and so, again, we're just trying to continue the program and the reimbursement that that the program provides. One other...
Senator Coobley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Cheney. Well, couldn't we resolve both of those problems by just having a hunting season on wolves and elk? Seems like an idea to me that wouldn't cost us anything. It might generate a little revenue. I don't know.
Is that a motion?
I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman, if you really want me to answer that or not.
It's at your discretion.
I think I'll just move on, Mr. Chair. The governor also recommends eliminating the plant pest survey. This provides a savings to the general fund of $200,000 per year. This program provides information about the abundance and distribution of pests of Minnesota field crops, and the data is used as a reference for current regional pest conditions. It would result in the elimination of some seasonal personnel, but it will not affect the bulk of the invasive species control activities. We think that most of this work will be assumed by private sector consultants, so it's we don't think it will be missed as much. The dairy and food inspection is another one of our regulatory responsibilities. As you know, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture is responsible for inspecting grocery stores, convenience stores, dairy farms, and host of other, as well as following the food recall investigations. I know we've already talked quite a bit about the peanut butter this year. The dairy and food inspection program has a budget of a little more than $22.5 million. This is a 2.6 increase from the 08-09 year. And the only change item in this area is we recommend increasing the food handler and dairy facility reinspection fees in order to recover more of the costs from the reinspection activities. This is, again, really just focused on those who have already violated and whose facilities we have to go back out and reinspect. The Laboratory Services Division has a budget of $16 million and is a little over a 4% decrease from the 08-09 year. And there are no change items in that area. Now we get into the...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Miss Cheney, could you go back to that one? I just wanted to make sure there's a
4.15% decrease.
And, Mr. Chair, could you tell me what part of their services are being reduced?
This is Mr. Steve Ernest, who is our finance director at the department, and he can provide a little more information on that.
Thank you.
Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve Ernest, Financial Management Director for the Department of Agriculture. If the members have their books in front of them, on page 40 are the breakdown of the numbers by funds.
40?
Page 40. And for the general fund, we have a small transfer of an appropriation between funds of $42,000. That's just because we had the rent went up quite a bit in the lab building, and we had a general fund supplemental appropriation, which we had to break out part of it for the Ag Development Division because they have a portion of the lab, so it was all put in this division to start with. That's a small reduction. The other numbers, I see some miscellaneous agency numbers going down. What we're comparing is 08 and 09 to 10 and 11. There really isn't much of a change in this division. You can see the base of the general fund at $3.851 million carrying across. So I can't really point to one particular program that's not getting, or activity that's not getting money. That's getting less money next biennium than this biennium.
Let's go ahead, follow up.
No, that's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe we can back up one slide there as well. Inspection service. I know you and I have talked about this, but what was spent on the inspection for the venison program, donation program? Can you tell me what that costs? Or is that coming later?
I have the material in my bag.
That's fine. You can get that to me.
I could certainly get that information
Thank you.
To you.
Mr. Chairman, I would point out that the venison money is DNR's money, so it shows up in the division's, the Dairy and Food Division's budget as agency funds. It's another agency's money. So we maybe can see that. Our miscellaneous agency, I see 157 in 2008. That may be the total venison money.
And Mr. Chair, Senator, I can certainly follow up with that information.
Please do that.
So Quinn Cheney, before we get through all this, I'd like to know what the total fee increase is. That might be important to us. What are the, you don't have to do it today, but we I'd like to know what totally those fees total. Maybe it's just me, but I think I would like to know that. Other members would like, I would like to know that. Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I'll be happy to, I didn't add them up, but I'd be happy to get that information for you.
Sure.
Moving on, the marketing and promotion is one of, finishing with the regulatory responsibilities, we have the marketing and promotion division, and they are responsible for the domestic value-added markets, promoting our renewable fuels, Minnesota grown, helping to develop new markets internationally, and working to showcase Minnesota products throughout the throughout both the country and internationally. The marketing and promotion budget is nearly $7 million, and this is an about an 8.5% decrease from the 08-09 budget year. The governor recommends a change item in this area. We're proposing to eliminate the department's aquaculture program and reduce some of the promotional activities and provide some small reduction of support for the Ag in the Classroom program.
Jenny.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Why would we reduce the support for Ag in the Classroom? If you want young farmers, people to get involved in Ag, we're going to have to take a serious look at that. Right?
Mr. Chair, this reduction is about a $10,000 per year reduction to Ag in the Classroom. We'll still have one staff person who's responsible for this. This is just a reduction in the promotional materials used for that program. I thought I would also give a little bit of a picture here of the value-added agriculture, the ethanol production. As you all know, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture issues payments to producers of ethanol. In 2010, the regular payments were $1.2 million, and this was made to two plants, not three, two plants for 2010. In 2011, we will be making deficiency payments to 12 plants, and payments to producers will be completed in 2012.
Mr. Chair.
Nurse Goy.
Thank you. Ms. Cheney, just so I'm clear on that, there's two plants that are receiving their regular payments, and the extended payments that occurred a few years ago will expire in 2012 completely?
Correct.
Oh, I got that. Thank you.
Two plants receiving regular payments during 2010, and the rest, we'll start making some of those deficiency payments during 2010. And 2011 will be completely used for deficiency payments, and then they're all completed in 2012.
Thank you.
The governor is recommending to create a new program using some of those, using the funds that are coming off the ethanol payment program as they come off. The program, we're calling it Ag 21, and it will provide grants and loans to fund emerging needs in agriculture. Two items that would be covered under this would be the livestock investment and next generation energy. As you know, both of those were programs that received funding last year, but it was simply one-time money. We're proposing to use those funds from ethanol starting in 2013 to help fund continuation of the Livestock Investment Program and the Next Gen Energy Program. You'll also notice that in 2010 and 2011, we did start the program a little bit early so that we could use some of the reductions in other areas of the department to start that program with $500,000 in 2010 and 2011. And we would, that those funds were coming from the Dairy Enhancement Program, because we feel like that program the goals of that program were most aligned with the livestock investment. So we would propose to use some of the funds from the Dairy Enhancement Program to start up this and use it to cover the livestock investment grants in the 2010-2011 year.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cheney, was the dairy investment program that you're taking that money from, was that money not being well spent in that area, or was it not being fully utilized, or what's going on with that area that you're removing the money, taking that money from?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scully, the Dairy Enhancement Program provides funds consultants that go out and visit dairy farms and provide consultants and guidance to those dairy farms. And we've talked to over 4,000 farms, is my understanding, and we feel like we've provided them lots of guidance and helped them develop some business plans to move forward. And now we'd like to get some money into their hands so that we can actually help them implement those plans. This through the Livestock Investment Grant Program, we can get direct grants to farmers, and there aren't as many of those I don't think we can do that through the Dairy Enhancement Program in the same way. So it's a successful program, but we feel like we've reached a lot of farmers through that program, and now we want to refocus some of the funds in another way.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Cheney, my recollection of the testimony that we had on that dairy investment dollars was that was money that was being spent that made many of these dairy farms profitable. And I'm sure that a significant number of those farms, from what I remember hearing, were giving that credit for them being able to stay in business. So I want to make sure that you're not pulling the plug out from that program a little soon. I understand you're only taking half the money or thereabouts, but I think we'll have to make sure that that's the direction you want to go.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, I will also have somebody available on Thursday when we come back to testify, and I can provide further discussion about that program and have some more expert advice on what the program does and how we're moving forward with the Ag 21 and livestock investment grants.
Thank you.
The Finance and Development Division at the department focuses on helping promote environmentally friendly practices, working with on water quality enhancement, erosion control, and integrated pest management. And they also do work with low interest loans to beginning farmers through the Rural Finance Authority. The budget for this division is about $23 million, and this represents a 37% decrease from the 08-09 year.
Mr. Chairman, actually what that shows on the numbers page on page 49 is about a 37% increase, and the difference is that we combined our financial assistance division into our development division. The financial assistance division is mostly the RFA board and their loan programs. So we have some Clean Water Revolving Fund money, about $8 million, not showing up in the history here, and RFA money, a couple million dollars, not showing up here. So it's a fairly even if you add those in. I didn't recalculate the percent, but we did do the reorganization. And again, as Ms. Cheney said, when this division comes before you, that they can explain more.
We are recommending some reductions in this division. We are recommending reducing the biocontrol efforts, eliminating the urban pest management program, and also reducing some of the integrated pest management activities. And again, we will have somebody, our specialist here, to talk on Thursday to provide you with more detail about those particular reductions. Also, in this division, we are recommending some additional Clean Water Fund program money providing funding for the department to work with local units of government for water quality project. And then finally, on grants and administration, we're recommending reducing funding for some of the pass-through grants and administrative activities. This is where that reduction for the dairy profitability and enhancement program shows up in the budget pages. We're also recommending a $100,000 reduction for the sustainable agriculture demonstration grants and $50,000 reduction from agency administration. That includes finance and budget, commissioner's office, human resources, and IT. Mr. Chair, I didn't know whether you wanted me to also cover the Board of Animal Health, so I just provided a little bit of a snapshot of the program proposals at the end of this. The total budget for the Board of Animal Health will be $14.2 million. The funding recommendations are to reduce funding for avian pneumovirus, to reduce the number of surveillance samples taken, to reduce the number of herd evaluations for Yoni's disease, and also some general operating reductions. The governor also recommended providing some additional funding, $200,000 per year, for the board to do to support the bovine tuberculosis efforts that were started last year. And that's all for this, for the overview. I also have Greg Bezicki with the Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division, who can talk further about the clean water proposals and also about the fee increases in the pesticide and fertilizer division.
Lynn Cheney, I have a couple of questions. What happened to the ORI? They cut the ORI funding in half, or I'm looking for that in this book, but the AURI, that got cut in half, is that?
Mr. Chair, it is, if I recall, that is correct, that the funding was reduced. That actually doesn't fall under the department's budget, however. So we're not involved in the funding responsibilities for AURI.
I notice food safety. I want to be sure that we have enough people, because I'm running out of peanut butter, and pretty quick I'll figure out something else. Now, on a serious note, I think food safety is one place that I don't think we can cut. That's my own personal opinion, but because the look at Minnesota, who's got the only lab in the country, I believe, that even does it. And so we don't want to lose, we certainly don't want to lose that part. I asked you about fees, and I just got a slip, and I'll tell you what those fees are. $2.8 million per year, $5.6 million for the biennium, and most of it comes from an increase in the pesticide program. I have that information. You won't need to get that to me. Any other questions? Okay. Continue.
You're up.
Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joe Martin. I serve as the Assistant Commissioner at the Department of Agriculture with oversight over several of the regulatory divisions. Primarily, I have oversight over the pesticide and fertilizer management, and also I've been very involved working interagency on the Clean Water Fund recommendations. So if it's all right with you, maybe we could start with, I'll have Mr. Bozicki, our division director, talk a little bit more about the proposed fee increase for the pesticide regulatory account, because that's a significant change, and he can talk a little bit about that and take questions. Is that acceptable?
Okay. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Greg Bozicki. I'm the Division Director of Pesticides and Fertilizer Management Division. What I'd like to do is give you a very quick overview. I've got about a half a dozen slides here that talk a little bit about, in general sense, what has happened with the pesticide regulatory account. And that's the story, Mr. Chair.
I
hope don't
forget. I can understand.
That was an interesting tapestry.
Sticking to
tapestry. Right?
There we go. Well, I guess you get this version. Okay, Mr. Chair, again, this will be a real quick overview. I'm showing you some funding numbers from the 08-09 biennial budget, and I'm showing the divisions that are involved in regulation at the Department of Agriculture. The group at the lower right is the Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division. And what I wanted to show you here is that a couple take-home messages. The majority of our funding comes from dedicated resources, about 79%. That's in the blue. We get a little bit of general fund, but most of that actually was from the Clean Water Legacy Act. And we get a little bit of federal money as well. We also have some soft money. But it amounts to about $14 million as an annual budget. Now, I wanted to show you, this is kind of a laundry list, Mr. Chair, of what we do. I just thought it would be interesting to assemble a list of the various things that we're involved with on an ongoing basis. A lot of times we come up and talk. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to present to the committee what we do in cleanups and some reports that we provided. But here's a whole list of things that we do. On your left, you'll see the current activities. This is just, again, a laundry list of different titles of the things we are involved with. Some are big, some are large, and some are small. And over on the right, I listed a number of things that we have to address, and some of them are emerging issues such as non-degradation rule, TMDLs, standards for surface water. These are all things that the Department of Agriculture, Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division gets involved in and sees that these are emerging issues. At the lower right, those are actually activities that both the pesticide and fertilizer components of our division are involved with, such as enforcement. We provide 24/7 emergency response for spills, for example. We're involved with ACRI. I provided, as I said, a report on that. So this is just to give you and the committee members an idea of some of the issues that we're involved with on a regular basis. Getting back to some of the dollars, again, this is 08-09, and it's actually a average, I think, of our annual budget across those 2 years. But what I wanted to show you briefly again is that the pesticide regulatory account is a significant component. The general fund, the $2.2 million, most of that was involved in Clean Water Legacy and goes to research. It actually wasn't, it was pass-through dollars, I should say. Fertilizer tonnage, that goes to regulatory programs. The ACRA program, the Ag Chemical Response and Reimbursement Account, again, most of that is passed through. It's for remediation of spill sites. We'll be talking about that more. The Remediation Fund, which is a state superfund, we work in conjunction with PCA. We have equal authority to deal with superfund. That money is either spent or reserved on incidents. So again, that is passed through. It's not a little bit of that actually comes to the department for oversight. And then the federal money, that is largely EPA. So what I wanted to point out to the committee is even though we have $14 million in our budget, a significant portion of that is actually passed through or is dedicated for programs that don't involve the division staff directly. This is from our fund statement, and the numbers are in the book, but I thought it would be useful since because I get confused with a lot of these numbers, just to look at diagrammatically where we're at. The blue line is our ending balance. We've reported that. That balance had been in the $4 million range, and we were in the process of spending that down in the past few years. Our revenues, which are the yellow line, have been gradually increasing. That's basically cost. Those are fees that we collect on pesticide products. They've been gradually going up, but our expenditures have gone up even more so. The big peak that you see is due to what we have set aside to deal with the waste pesticide collection program that the legislature passed last year, plus some additional staff or additional dollars to the laboratory for laboratory support and to deal with some of the increased needs. But the majority of that is actually waste pesticide program. So what I wanted to show is without a fee increase, we are looking at our reserves significantly dropping to the point that in 2011 we will be in the red. What's caused some of that? Well, as I mentioned, the waste pesticide collection program is a big cost, and we're only 6 months into that program, but we have reserved a significant amount. But what I would thought I would do, and I've showed this to some folks that are interested in this account over the past few months, we've had some costs that have increased that are just beyond what we do. For one thing, if you look at the rent that we paid 10 years ago and the rent that we pay now, it's gone up by about $300,000. Our indirect rates, our charges have gone up about roughly $150,000. And the average cost of our staff has gone from, in FY97, from about $48,000 to $74,000. That's salary and fringe. Those are costs that are beyond my means to control. Those are cost of living adjustments and so forth, at least largely. So when you add that up, we had about 49 staff in both of those years, in 97 and 2007, that were dedicated to the PRA. And so our total cost of those staff was about $2.2 million 10 years ago, and now it's about $3.5 million, or it was in 2007. If you add up all of those costs that are basically outside of program costs, if you will, about the same staff and increased costs, we're dealing with about $1.7 million in increased costs that are basically beyond our management capabilities. So that just gives you a bit of an overview of what we're facing, so you can see the context of what we're doing. Now, I do have...
I'm going to interrupt a minute. Senator Deal, you had your hand up?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask Mr. Buzicki a couple of questions about one of the earlier slides. You had a long list of things that you do, and since we're trying to figure out what we can do less of or cut down on mandates or save money and so forth, could you identify from that list the three least important things that you do?
Mr. Chair, that would be difficult. Mr. Chair, Senator Dill, I'm not sure where to begin. I'm looking over this. Some of these things are mandated. Some of these we have flexibility. One of the issues that we're looking at right now, and we've got some legislative initiatives here, is how to deal with some of our waste pesticide collection costs. I think I mentioned that at the last hearing when you asked a similar question. What is it that we can do a little bit less of? One of the things we would like to do is instead of doing collections, agricultural collections, every year in every county, We would like to have, like we used to, the ability to make the choice, do it at least every other year. Some counties, we might want to do it more than once in 2 years, but a number of counties, we don't have to be there every year, and that would save some costs. That would be one example.
Yeah, Dale.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Bozicki, I picked up on that during the last meeting, and I think that sounds like an excellent idea. Now, how do we get that done? Do we need a bill to do it, or can that be part of your department bill? Or,
Mr. Chair, Senator Dale, we actually have a proposal to that effect that we'll be talking about.
Okay. Well, I think we need to keep thinking about things like that to try to cut down on your activities and make everything work out.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Dale, the only thing I can say is that we have not had a pesticide fee increase since 1991 on our registration. We've done a number of things. We actually did reduce our waste pesticide program from $600,000 to $300,000 in 2003. There was also a reduction in the transfer of money to ARI of $200,000 back then. And speaking on part of staff, we've actually reduced management over time, and we've learned to do things more efficiently and more effectively. Nonetheless, when we get asked to do some of these things or we get directed to do some of these things, it takes time and it takes people, and that's what we're up against. Mr. Chair, the first...
Senator Engelbretson, you have a question?
Oh, yeah, I do. If I could, on that same note that Senator... Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Dill is talking about. Can you just real quickly describe to me the endangered species part, as well as the shoreland rules, and also the 24-hour response. Can you comment on those real quickly?
That's not what, Mr. Chair, Senator, I can comment on them very quickly. The endangered species program is actually a very small program now. It is a major issue in some of the southern and western states because of the endangered species. I think we actually spend only about $5,000 on it, and we have minimized that program. But it's basically a federally mandated program. And a number of years ago, I would mention that our staff actually came up with a way to, as an alternative way to deal with the federal requirements that were going to be very staff intensive. At this time, EPA has diminished their emphasis on the program. So we're basically down to providing fact sheets and information about some endangered species and working cooperatively with landowners, trying to maintain a very basic program so that's acceptable at the federal level. The shoreland rules is a issue that is actually a DNR-related issue, and they are concerned about the use of fertilizers and pesticides in some shoreland areas. I listed that as an emerging issue and one that we know that we'll get some inquiries about, and that we provide support, input, and information to them to make sure that they understand what our regulations are and we understand what they're trying to do. So that's an interagency coordination issue. And, Mr. Chair, Senator, you asked about emergency response. We deal with about 150 pesticide and fertilizer emergencies each year. We cooperate with other agencies in that the state duty officer is trained to know that when it's a pesticide or fertilizer issue, they contact us. So if there is an anhydrous release in town in the middle of the night and the sheriff becomes aware of that, we're one of the people, once the duty officer is contacted, we're the agency that is responsible for that because it is a fertilizer, and we provide information and support in whatever ways that we can. We have staff that are on duty, we have staff on call 24/7 to be able to answer that. This past year, actually, I had staff contacting me on major releases, such as the train derailment that took place in southern Minnesota. I was contacted at all hours, weekends, evenings, maybe 30 times this past year. These would be of the 150 releases, these would be the very serious ones. It's where people are injured or potentially injured.
Thanks.
Darren Gimsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you comment just briefly on the amount of time and resources and kind of to dovetail into what Senator Dill is talking about and Senator Ingebrigtsen, the coordination with other agencies, the potential coordination with other agencies. So many times we see, you know, when we see the lists like this, we see crossover, and in particular the groundwater monitoring, the surface water monitoring, the total maximum daily load type of issues that are out there. We have so many agencies dealing with these same topics. Can you give us an idea of how much of your time and resources are put into those types of activities, and are you looking at the potential of partnering with, say, the MPCA, DNR, and other agencies in developing a way of not duplicating?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gimsey, excellent question. First, I would start out by saying on TMDL issues, perhaps we can defer a significant amount of that discussion to the initiatives that are coming. But I would say this, we do coordinate very closely with other agencies. PCA on TMDLs, for example, I think you may be aware that acetochlor received TMDLs this past year for the first time, or was listed as impaired for the first time this past year. A pesticide, that's the first pesticide in the state that has been listed. In order to do that, we coordinated, we shared our monitoring data with the PCA. We have a memorandum of understanding with the Pollution Control Agency on how we do surface water analysis and sampling and coordination. So there's a high degree of coordination, and then even during those discussions, we also helped interface with the registrant, which is Monsanto and Dow for acetochlor, and the Pollution Control Agency to make sure the most current information was available by all parties making decisions. That's one example of how we do it. Another example is that fact that in our monitoring program, state agency hydrologists are a pretty close-knit group and work together very cooperatively, know each other personally as well as professionally. So there actually is arrangements that we have with the Pollution Control Agency and the DNR for them to take samples for us on occasion, and the Department of Health, for them to take samples and for us to help each other out in those areas where it's effective and efficient or to share sampling sites. So those are a couple of issues. In terms of how much time, that would be difficult to do on the just off the cuff. But I would say the groundwater monitoring, going back to the Groundwater Protection Act in 89 and now more recently the surface water monitoring, and I can talk about that more in detail at another day perhaps when we go over division budgets, but that actually is a significant portion of our program. We spend a number of hundreds of thousands of dollars on it.
Martin?
Mr. Chair, if I could jump in here too. I would say that there isn't, in terms of pesticides, there isn't so much duplication in agency work. But where we're seeing the increased workload is 10 years ago, there wasn't a lot of awareness about pesticide issues. But what happened is, say, the Pollution Control Agency has their awareness on pesticide residues in water has been heightened. And we saw the first ever impaired waters listing for pesticides. And as the Department of Ag, we are the resident state experts on pesticides, so they call us on the phone saying, we need the Department of Ag expertise to figure this out. So that draws time away from other work that we've been doing. So everything is, as I said, as more people want to work on bringing pesticide issues into discussion, we have to provide staff time to be part of that. So.
There, Dale, you had your
hand. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Wozicki, just looking at that list up there, I think the licensing for pesticide applicators is every 3 years, isn't it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dill, for private applicators, yes, that's certification for, there's different types of licenses for different types of applicators, and they vary.
Well, I'm just wondering if we could save a little money and save you some time if we extend it for 3 to 4 years or 2 to 3 years, or just try to spread it out a little bit more so that the license is good for a little bit longer period of time. And if something happens, I'm sure you've got the newsletters going out to them regularly to let them know what new things are coming up and what they need to watch for. In my own mind, I'm just thinking, do we really need to license them or certify them every 3 years? Maybe we can extend it to 4 or even 5 to try to save a little time and money.
Mr. Chair, the and Senator Dill, the private applicator licensing is actually run largely over at the University of Minnesota and conducts that program. We actually serve to issue those certificates once they provide us with people who've actually passed. We'd be happy to entertain that. I would say that it's a relatively small amount, but we'd be interested in taking a look at that if you'd like. Mr. Chair, were there another question?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Mr. Martin, this is a little off subject, but you said there was an impaired waters for pesticide. I hadn't heard that. Can you tell me a little bit about what was going on there?
Mr. Chair, Senator Skoy, as many of you know, the impaired waters process, we've been dealing with impaired waters and developing total maximum daily loads in the state for several years. Just within the last probably 3 years, we've seen increased monitoring, the need for monitoring, looking for pesticide problems in waters. And that led to the first ever official listing of acetichlor, which is a herbicide used primarily on corn soybean country. Which triggered, we have to develop an official TMDL plan to remediate this. So it's first ever. We've never done it. Obviously, the PCA wanted to work with us very closely on what does a pesticide TMDL actually look like. I think it's safe to say there will be more pesticide TMDLs.
Thank you.
Mr. Martin, can you tell me what does those cuts amount to that we're, if we do what the governor kind of wants, 25 million, 30 million, or what is it? You follow? We have to make cuts. And some of those cuts are that the governor put out there. What's total amount is that? You know?
Mr. Chair, in terms of the Department of Ag's budget, I will. I'll defer to our finance director. He has that number added up.
Well, the reason I asked that, yeah, some reason in this place, they can hit agriculture. They just want to whack away at ag. Not you, but that's what happens here. And ag's the most important place, business industry in the state of Minnesota. So, I'll make the cuts. We'll make the cuts, but I want to be sure that they're fair.
Mr. Chair and members. It was a difficult process, obviously, going through in terms of our process of identifying the cuts to put on the table. I would have to say that we put more on the table than it was actually accepted at the end of the day. So while it's never fun to cut programs, we went through a process of identifying what our core functions are, and I think the cuts that you see proposed in our budget are those that we're not passing judgment that they're bad programs or they're not successful, but they may not just rise to the level of what we'd say our core functions are. And Mr. Chair, members, our identified reductions are $1.6
million. Okay, Mr. Martin, so we reduce it 26, we turn around and put fees for $5.5 million. But those fees go into like the pesticide. They don't go into the total picture of the ag. Am I understanding this right?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay. Any other questions? Not, thank you very much. Or do you have some more?
Mr. Chair, I've got three initiatives that deal with the pesticide account that I could just talk about briefly and hand out some fact sheets for the committee, and I could get through these pretty quickly if you'd like. The first one that I've handed out is an incident response, the incident response program costs. And basically what we would like to do is to take the ACRA account, which has been increasing and building a reserve, and use that for staff to support the oversight of the cleanups. As I mentioned in our ACRA program, and I think Senator Scoy talked about the last time I was here about it's not good to build a reserve, but we would have a plan to address this, and this is basically it. We have a large number of cleanup sites that need attention, and we don't have the staff to do that. We have some vacancies. Largely, what we have, the way the law reads, is that the ACRA account is dedicated for cleanups other than a small amount that's used for administrative staff. What we would like to do is open that account up to support not only the administrative staff, but to some degree some of our professional hydrologists and project managers, and use those people to move cleanup sites along so that we can address that. The committee expressed some concern about being able to address those issues, and this is one way where we're thinking differently and out of the box, so to speak, from the way we have in past years. But instead of just sitting on that reserve and that large amount, which those funds are needed for cleanup, we would like to use some of those funds to support staff to make sure that the cleanups proceed. We are estimating that we would be utilizing $271,000 of the ACRA monies in addition to the pesticide regulatory money, the Superfund money, and the fertilizer regulatory money that we currently use. So, Mr. Chair, that's one of our initiatives. The large initiative that we...
Mr. Buzicki, so what I'm gathering you're saying here is instead of using the total amount for cleanup, you're going to take some percentage of it and help with the staff because the staff is the issue about getting the cleanup done?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, that's exactly right.
Thank you.
In addendum to that, we have had more staff in that program a number of years ago. We've actually decreased, and we've decreased to the point now where we can't deal with the number of sites that we have out there.
Well, Mr. Chair and Mr. Buzicki are to the committee, you know, that could be considered general fund responsibilities too, as opposed to taking the program dollars for staffing the cleanup.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, we haven't used general fund. I've got a little bit of general fund in the division. We haven't used it in that fashion, but that's clearly always an alternative.
No, probably not this year.
I stand corrected. Mr. Chair, the other fact sheet that I just handed out has to deal with our major pesticide fee increase. It's called pesticide program funding. And I'll make a couple of comments here on this initiative. The regulatory account, the pesticide regulatory account, has not had a registration fee increase since 1991, about 18 years. On the fact sheet at the bottom, you will see that there's something that we actually pulled from the legislative auditor's report, and the purpose of that graph is simply to show that the majority of our dollars in the account actually comes from registration. Now, there's our registration in Minnesota is 0.4% with a minimum of $250 per product. We register about 13,000 products in the state, so all 13,000 products essentially pay the $250 minimum. The larger sellers exceed the $250 minimum and pay at the 0.4 of a percent. And that money, those, all of these fees, have gone to pay for our programs, including waste pesticides. Now, if you flip it over to the back, perhaps the best way to say describe this initiative on fees is actually to first talk about the non-agricultural waste pesticide account that we're proposing we start. This would be like ACRA, and what we are proposing is that this non-agricultural waste pesticide account would be used to support the work that's done at the household hazardous waste collection sites, where, as you know, last year we modified the program significantly. So we are supporting right now with our pesticide regulatory account all the waste, the household waste, that's pesticides, that's picked up at the county level. What we're proposing is that an additional surcharge be put on non-agricultural pesticides. That money goes into an account, and that is used to support the county activity on non-agricultural pesticides. We estimate that initially, if we put the fee at 0.6% of the annual gross sales, that we would bring in about $870,000. Now, the non-agricultural waste material, that program is only about 6 months old, so we don't know exactly how much waste is going to be generated at the county level. This fee, this surcharge, would be adjustable. So if we're bringing in too much, we could bring it back down and so forth. And that's what our portion of our fee is actually to set up a separate account just for that non-agricultural waste pesticide that's being disposed of at the county. Now, Mr. Chair, if we go back to the department, the remainder of the fee increase, what we're asking for is an increase from 0.4% on all products to 0.6%, and to increase the base registration for non-agricultural pesticides from $200 to $350 per product. Mr. Chair, as you're aware, the legislative auditor directed us to do a number of things or suggested that we do a number of things. The commissioner agreed, and we've been implementing that. One of the things that we are seeing and that we will be anticipating is that there will be more work in urban areas on pesticides. So that is in part the reason for the increase in the surcharge in the fee on non-agricultural pesticides. Now, the way we've determined what is an ag pesticide and what is a non-ag pesticide is that using the label. Each label, and I have a sample one here that I asked staff to pull together, and I can pass this around. Each label document has a box called Agricultural Use Requirements. And the purpose for that is to make sure that if it is an agricultural use product, that these requirements, these specific requirements, especially for worker protection, are followed. The state of Michigan has used this to differentiate between agriculture and non-agricultural, and that's what we're proposing to do as well. That fee would bring in a total of about $1.9 million, both of those fees together. And what we would be proposing to do with that is to offset the negatives that were already, that I showed, the additional costs that we've incurred, and then to position ourselves for the future. And some of the things that we need to do, not only in our program, but for our laboratory, so the laboratory needs additional support to be able to run not only misuse samples, but also monitoring samples. They need some new equipment, and they have some direct needs for pesticides. We have issues dealing with some of these, or we have needs dealing with some of these emerging issues that I indicated that we're dealing with, whether it's dealing with such topics of atrazine or whether we're talking about pesticide use, information surveys in urban areas, that was another issue in the audit report, or whether we're talking about such things as data management. We receive a lot of data requests, and that's an issue. So at a later time, we can talk more about that or what we're proposing how to use those funds, but we're basically proposing a fee to offset some of our existing costs and future costs, as well as to address the waste pesticide issue. And Mr. Chair, we have one more initiative that is less fiscal in nature, but it does address a concern that we have, and I have another set of fact sheets on that, and that is called the Ag Dealer Licensing. It's on page 20, and this fact sheet explains it a little bit more. But what we are aware of is there is a cross-border issue of sales of pesticides into the state. So what we're trying to do is create a level playing field by making sure that if you are an internet seller or if you're a broker selling pesticides into the state, that you report those sales to the registrant who is responsible for paying fees to the state of Minnesota. Our dealers have expressed concern that they're at a competitive disadvantage from some of these brokers. This was not something that was around 18 years ago, 20 years ago when we passed the Groundwater Protection Act, but this is the department's effort to try to address to make sure that everyone who is selling pesticides into Minnesota is paying the appropriate fees and that our dealers that are based here in Minnesota are not at a competitive disadvantage. So, Mr. Chair, what we're proposing is that anyone selling pesticides in this state from out of state, if they're agricultural pesticides and whether they're RUPs or general pesticides, they would have an agent in the state and that they would obtain a pesticide dealer's license. And then that company with their agent in the state would submit their sales records to the registrants to ensure that the registrants are aware of the sales of those particular pesticides and can pay the department the correct fees. So, Mr. Chair, those are our three initiatives on pesticide-related fees. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them either now or later.
Any questions? Matt, thank you very much. Mr. Martin?
Mr. Chair, members, would you like me to briefly touch on the Clean Water Fund recommendations? Mr. Chair, members, I believe all this is in your books, but long and short of it, the governor's recommendation for this is a new sales tax, the Clean Water Fund. The Department of Ag is recommended at $8.925 million for the biennium. I realize there's
Mr. Chair, do I have a page number on this?
Page 11 is the first one, Mr. Chair. Eleven through 14. I guess, Mr. Chair, I'll start by saying that it's been a difficult process in terms of what the actual numbers should be or would be, because there's been some debate over what the actual revenue collection may be. But I think the bottom line is we think that these are the sort of core functions that the Department of Agriculture would like to be involved in terms of Clean Water Fund, and they match to some extent what we have been doing in the past with the past one-time funding for Clean Water Legacy. The big piece obviously will be continuation of Ag BMP loans. These are loans that are passed through to local units of government, or they'll be either SWCDs or counties, which in turn package loans for septic system upgrades, for feedlot upgrades, for tillage equipment. Those are the primary projects with that. The next recommendation is $1.5 million in 10 and $3 million in 11. And once again, I'll say I think while these numbers may not reflect exactly what will come out at the end of the day, I think they sort of reflect the proportions of what we're looking at. I'm going to have you skip to page 14. That's the next major item. And that would be a general line item for research projects, pilot projects, and demonstration projects. And there's a lot of flexibility within this appropriation. We have appropriated quite a bit of money in the past 2 years through a Clean Water Legacy for RFP research to the University of Minnesota to better understand agriculture's contribution to impairments, and then also trying to identify, we know a lot about best management practices, but there's a heck of a lot we don't know about where exactly we need to place a BMP on the landscape to actually start cleaning up some water. So part of this money could be used academic research. I know many of you may have heard some discussions about potentially starting a Discovery Farms project in the state. This pot of money could also be a source of funds to serve as a catalyst for that, or any other type of pilot projects, demonstration projects that really display to farmers the practices that need to be placed in the land to address impairments. The other two recommendations are new. They have not been projects done with past Clean Water Legacy money. And on page 12, you'll see the drinking water protection. And as part of the amendment said that I believe it was 8% had to be dedicated to drinking water. And Department of Health plays a big role in drinking water, but also the Department of Ag does in terms of groundwater protection for nitrates. So this recommendation you see is the department getting more involved in working with communities and private areas that may have nitrate contamination in wells. And we have a long history of that, but the message is we always could be doing more. And the last recommendation, related back to pesticides again, is the biggest bottleneck in terms of us finding if there's pesticide problems in our waters is lab analysis. And this recommendation would mostly go to purchasing lab equipment that would greatly increase our ability to run more water samples so we can find out where the problems are so we can more quickly respond. That concludes my remarks, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions? Senator Engelbretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The dollars you're talking about here for the clean water, constitutional amendment. These are new funds. Are these new programs, or they're ongoing projects? Because I understand that they are not to supplant any programs that have been ongoing. Have you been cognizant of that and aware of that? I'm sure you are.
Mr. Chair, Senator Engelbretson, we are very aware of the discussion of supplementing funds. All of our projects that have been funded in the past are funded through one-time money. So if we did not receive any additional money, none of this activity would happen. So we view this as new money and new activities.
Any other questions? Senator Engelbretson.
Just a follow-up on that. So I understand the one-time money for projects, but these are projects that have been going on in the past that they're going to be funded, and you're asking for funding from these from this constitutional amendment for ongoing funding for the programs that you've been doing. Is that fair?
Mr. Chair, Senators, maybe it's easiest if I just go in looking at the Ag BMP loan program. That's a revolving loan. Any new money we'd receive in, we'd simply increase loan activity, more projects, more money out to LGUs. In looking at the research projects, all of our past research projects have been funded, It's not our intent to continue any of those research projects. We view this new money for new projects. So everything that we have all on research now is closed.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking at this money to continue that. Mm-hmm. And then the pesticide, as I described, that would be new equipment.
14.
And the groundwater work, yes, we are doing some groundwater work right now in terms of nitrates. It's limited. So we would look at this as increasing our capacity to do more. And in all of these areas, you'll see that we have proposed no budget reductions.
Any other questions? Thank both of you very much. We'll be visiting this before we're done. I'm going to ask Andy Hackman if he wants to come up. He asked if he could speak. Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, my name is Andy Hackman. I'm Director of State Affairs for the Consumer Specialty Products Association. I want to thank you for taking my comments today. I happen to be in town, and it's relevant for the agenda item, so I appreciate you taking me today. We are the Consumer Specialty Products Association. We represent a wide spectrum of companies that you would know and probably are underneath your shelves. Clorox, Lysol, Mr. Clean, Procter & Gamble, SC Johnson, as well as a number of Minnesota-based companies such as 3M, Ecolab, and the MGK company. A lot of folks know that disinfectants and sanitizing products are registered as pesticides because they kill an organism. We generally are supportive of registration fees, pesticide registration fees that support and benefit all registrants equally. We do have some significant concerns with the proposed registration fees that you've just heard about because they represent a doubling of the registration fees when you consider both the base registration fee increase and the registration fee increase to fund the non-agricultural waste collection program. For our companies, this year, as it is across the board, it's a very difficult and challenging year. And to be looking at fees that are doubling and increasing by 100% is a significant cost for our companies. A number of our members register hundreds of products in the state. If you think of every brand name of Mr. Clean that is an antimicrobial product, that has to be registered as an individual product. So for a company to absorb an increased cost on each registration can be tens of thousands of dollars. And for smaller companies, that's a significant cost. Beyond the registration fee itself, this would the new fund that's being created raises some concerns for us. A lot of our products, such as bleach, are household products that can be easily be recycled through municipal recycling infrastructures. So we think that there should be an increased focus on looking at current resources that are available for recycling of these products. I understand that under the law that passed last year, the department's going to be looking specifically at the volumes of certain products that come in through these programs. I think we need to get a better handle of what specific products are coming into these programs that are of concern and look at those products that are the highest volumes coming into some of these HHW sites. Again, I just want to underscore, and I know the time of the committee is limited today, that we're very concerned about the fee increase. It is a substantial cost for our companies. To put it in a little bit of a perspective, New York State is probably somewhat similar in terms of population and the number of products that we register in the state. Their current registration fee, and it's not going to be changing this year, is $155 in comparison to the fee here going up to $350 per product. For most of our companies, that makes Minnesota the second highest registration fee in the nation. So this is a significant cost, and we hope that the committee considers it in that light, and I can answer any questions that you may have. We do have some written testimony that I'll be providing to the committee. I appreciate you taking me today while I'm here, and we'll get more facts and figures to the committee at that request.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I sympathize with you on the fee increases. I understand that that's not a optimal way to fund what we're trying to accomplish, but I also think it's not fair to be funding the non-ag chemical collection with the agriculture fee that's currently being collected. And so they're looking for a different source, and I think that would be appropriate that it goes on to the non-ag registrants as opposed to the agriculture ones. But I am sympathetic to the general fee increases, but You know, we're kind of stuck in Minnesota. That is one of the only places that there's any revenue that's been able to be raised.
Mr. Chairman, just a comment, not a question. This goes, and first of all, I apologize for being late. I had some constituents here from my district, and it's important.
I used to say when I went to country school, you get excused the first time, but don't let it happen.
Okay. Well, I got to answer to my constituents because they're the ones that send me here. So anyway, I apologize for that. Anyway, this I just wanted to lodge my dislike with, and I had heard about this before, and I just found it in the page here, that the dairy reinspection fees going from $45 to $100, and it goes along with what the gentleman's talking about. That's a doubling in the fee. Now, I have 348 dairy farms in Morrison County alone, and there's a lot of large dairy farms, and a $100 reinspection fee to them is not a big deal. But I do have a lot of, Mr. Chairman, I do have a lot of small dairy farms that are, you know, 25, 30, 40, 50, 60 cows, and $100 to them is a lot. And if you're, if you want to really put it in perspective, at $9.50 milk, that's 1,000 pounds of milk just to pay for this reinspection. So I just, as this senator wants to say, that I am not happy about that fee increase, and I'm going to do what I can to make sure we can reduce that because I don't agree with it.
Well, Senator Corey, we haven't made a decision.
Right.
We're discussing this.
But I'm just letting you know that that's an angle that I'm going to be working
Senator
on.
Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, is it Ackman?
Hackman.
Ackman. If I heard you right, for this proposed fee increase, we will have the second highest fee for this purpose in the nation. Is that what you said?
That is correct.
And did you also say that a similar state to Minnesota would be New York, which charges $150 per product?
That's roughly population-wise. Yeah.
In Minnesota, we're at $350. Is that what you said?
That's correct.
So maybe somebody from the Department of Agriculture could come up again and explain why we want to be second in the nation in this particular category. Is there some way we can rearrange it so we're not second in the nation?
Yeah.
Yeah, Senator Langstaff says he'd like to get down to at least third.
Yeah. Third sounds better.
Mr. Chair, Greg Bozicki again, for purpose of the tape. Senator Dill, I have not looked at how we would rate in the nation in terms of fees. I do know that New York has a similar type of registration special review process that we're trying to establish here. That's one of the new costs that we're having to deal with. I know they've had that in place. I'm not familiar with all of New York's programs or everybody else's programs, but the Department of Agriculture, the pesticide program, has historically done a number of things under the direction of the legislature, of course, and groundwater monitoring and surface water monitoring, spill response, emergency response, and I will go back to the waste pesticide program. I made the point in committee, I think, last year, certainly in the task force, that the Department of Agriculture was one of the best programs in the country in dealing with waste pesticide collections historically. We have EPA records that document that we actually were among the top collectors. We had reduced that program at one point from 600,000 to 300,000, and we were still one of the better programs in the country, yet the legislation that passed last year put our program from a $300,000 to $400,000 program to somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million. So I guess in response, in summary, I would just say is that, we are proposing higher fees, but we also have, among other things with the waste pesticide, a lot of responsibilities that the legislature has
directed us to do, and that's perhaps why we compare so high, because of things like what I've described.
Dale, Senator Dale, follow up.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members, and Mr. Buzicki, we know how these statistics can be used, and sometimes it may not be quite the way it is, and it's hard to compare one state to the other and so forth. But maybe you could just double-check on what Mr. Hackman is saying here and see if we would be second highest in the nation, and maybe we are, depending on how you look at it. Maybe you can look at it another way, and we're really not so high, but I guess I'd be a little unhappy if we wound up second highest in the nation in this particular category. So if you could you research that just a little bit more to see if he's adding up the numbers in a way that would jive with generally understood ways of figuring this out? Because, you know, I think Senator Langseth knows how it goes when we talk about Minnesota being the highest tax state in the nation or the sixth highest and so forth. It depends on how you look at it. And if you look at it on a per capita basis, we're really not that high. We're more kind of in the middle of the pack. And it's so it depends on which political party is talking about the ranking, basically.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dill. Mr. Chair, Senator Dill, just recently I saw the National Association doing some survey work on this very issue. We'll assemble some information for the committee along those lines. I don't know, Mr. Chair, Senator Dill, if there's a rating on the best and the most efficient, but I'm sure that we'd be right at the top on that one.
Senator Engelbretson.
Thank you. And off on that same note, if Mr. Hackman would know whether the state of New York does as much for their folks as the state of Minnesota does in comparison-wise as far as different areas. Would that be a reason that we are higher? Would that be possibly a reason?
Mr. Chair, Senator, I use New York as a comparison because we believe that they do quite a bit of work on pesticide issues. I can't say across the board that all the programs are equivalent. In terms of discussing the fee, we actually did do the survey, I think, that he's referencing to look at fees across all the states this past summer. And for those folks that are paying above the minimum, this will, in terms of dollars, this will definitely be the second highest fee. In terms of the scope of the programs, Minnesota does do quite a lot. We're concerned about being at this point in the process and looking at a fee increase next year when a lot of companies have budgeted already for next year's fee cycle. You know, in other states where we've had needs to increase fees, we are not opposed to reasonable registration fees. We understand a lot's going on here. In other states where we've seen the need to increase fees, we do it in a marginal way where it's phased in over a couple of years so our companies can adjust to that. That's one thing that we'd be willing to consider and discuss with the department if that's a perspective that the committee would like to entertain. In terms of the special collection for the non-ag pesticide products, we have some concerns about paying fees on every bottle of bleach when that's not what's showing up necessarily in the collection programs. So in terms of that, we do have some strong concerns around that. So creating a new program now with not having all the data on what's coming in yet. So I may have strayed from your topic a little bit, but
thanks.
Brian.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I know the chairman's probably watching that clock down there. I was going to bring a sheet today and put over that, but I just want to say that this whole fee business, I just want to go on record as saying I don't think much of it. As far as I'm concerned, a fee is a tax, and for us to disguise
it's surprising you
taxing
say that. I've been
people,
saying that for 24 years.
Well, anyway, I guess I just wish we would start to say that, because I think trying to disguise putting more taxes on people by saying it's a fee, I just think is disingenuous, and I don't think much about it.
So, members, this is just informational. We haven't made any decisions, and this committee will make the decisions of what we want to do. So we'll have some time. I'm glad you come today and shed another side of that issue that some of us probably didn't realize.
Thank you.
With that, is there no more questions? Members, and we are adjourned.
Foreign. Let's hold the income tax.
So you think the...